This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. We're talking this segment about Life Songs, which is a concert that happens every year. This year, it's Saturday, the 7th of May at the Lenzik Center for Performing Arts. I'd like to welcome Akushla Bastable, who is the director of the program, Elle Knowlton, who's a vocalist. She's part of the Intergenerational Ensemble. Jirogi Thobias, who is an artist and facilitator, and Vanessa Torres, who's also an artist, facilitator, and songwriter for Life Songs. Welcome everybody to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having us.
So this has been going on for some time. It's now under the umbrella of the Academy for the Love of Learning. How did this whole program get started and what is it?
Sure. So Life Songs started as a program of the opera, actually. And the opera remains a great community partner on the program. A collaboration between the opera and the local nonprofit Little Globe. And it was started by Molly Sturgis, Andrea Fellows-Walters and myself back in, I think 2006 or 7. And I say it's sort of around then because it sort of has emerged as a program, really. It started as the seed of an idea of working with elders and working to lift their songs and lift their stories and bring them, share them with a wider public. Because so often, as we know, people, as we get older, no longer have an opportunity to engage with the wider community. We often get sort of shut away, or whether it's voluntarily, or we actually end up living in homes and don't get to participate in the larger community life. So we wanted to address that and bring that wisdom back into community, if you like.
Especially given that Santa Fe is a traditionally very much of an intergenerational community where people were not traditionally shunted off, whether they be Native or Hispanic, into kind of a distant place.
Exactly. And so if in a way, so it is like a returning. I think in most communities, you know, we had a more of an intergenerational focus at some point. And as you say, Mary Charlotte, here very much so. And so really it's just a sort of a returning to a more natural way of being in community, I think. I don't think of it as anything like, oh, extraordinary. I think of it actually as being a sort of a coming back to rightness with ourselves as community. And so we do a lot of it. You use the word intergenerational, and that's what we really do. Elle, who's sitting right beside me here, is a great ambassador for that, and she has worked with us over several years now as a young voice with the Santa Fe Opera, but also in our intergenerational ensemble. And just this year, worked on creating a song with an elder with whom we've worked with for several years at the Santa Fe Care Center, Rita, and she's from Santo Domingo Pueblo. And Elle created a song with her, so it's the first time that we've had in collaboration with Vanessa, actually. So we're all here in the room together, but they created a song together, and that was actually part of a celebration that we had just this past weekend.
So that's the extraordinary part that you do, is that you work with elders in the community and actually write and perform songs that are inspired by them or by them to some extent, and above all, about their lives and kind of memories of their lives.
Yes.
I got that right?
Yeah. And I think you said, when you said that the songs are by them, I think that's the really important, that we take inspiration from being in collaboration with each other, but the songs are not written as sort of portraits or anything. They're absolutely written in collaboration. And Jirogi, who has multiple roles on this program, this year, for the first time, we decided together that he would write his life song in collaboration with Vanessa. And so he sort of holds these dual roles as both someone who has been an integral part of the program and is also now going through the experience of what it feels like to write a life song.
So tell us more about the collaboration between the two of you, Jirogi and Vanessa.
I'm still speechless from what I still discover as we go deeper. That's the term we use at the Academy quite a bit. I'm still going deeper in discovering this new arena of life, and this project has carried me beyond things that I was very satisfied in knowing about myself on the surface. And I was just thinking this morning, wow, I've got other places to have an interest in growing beyond these 72 mm-hmm. years. And it's been very revealing to me about myself.
Can you say more about that? Like more specifically what you mean?
Well, this morning, sitting in the bathtub, the thought came, we spent most of our time at the beginning going in a different direction, exploring a phase of my life that I thought was a big phase. And the song that we came up with just dropped in, totally different subject matter, everything. Just little comments that were not the major thing we've talked about throughout this process.
What were some of the little things that you did talk about?
Well, I just like to share, you know, the process of writing a life song, you know, it's a creative process, but also it's a relationship building process. So what we're really focused on with life songs is this kind of this meeting point between getting to know someone, spending time with them, getting a sense of what mm-hmm. is current for them in that moment, and also kind of bringing in the creative process using different prompts. And they could be musical or they could be around different subjects. And so Jiroge and I, you know, we began this process after at least a year of knowing each other mm-hmm. and I think having a really strong connection to begin with, which
outside of this project.
Which is unique because oftentimes yeah. with life songs, you're meeting someone for the first time and you're also often meeting someone at the end of life who is in hospice. So this is a unique project in the sense that Jiroge is not in hospice. He is contemplating his age and end-of-life questions, and mm-hmm. that's a context in which we met, actually, at a training around
exactly.
that called Coming Full Circle. And really, this song has come full circle because mm-hmm. although, mm-hmm. as Jiroge was alluding to, we spent the first 3 months exploring different moments in Jiroge's life, particularly his experience as a child, teenager, and coming into adulthood, and his deep rootedness in the Black Baptist Church, mm-hmm. the Metropolitan Church, the music, the gospel music that came out of that and lives in him. And this song is, you know, very much in alignment with that. Mm-hmm. We have that sound, the song we've created, but also it's touching upon more current themes in his life. Thinking about aging, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And end of life.
And I think the most important thing that I really wanted to have come from the song, Akusha, you remember we were talking about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what spurred Akusha to even suggest that I be involved in doing something with this. So my thought was, I don't want my legacy to be just about me. Mm-hmm. But can it be something that I leave that will inspire others? And without trying, that's what I think we've come up with mm-hmm. the song. So I'm still overwhelmed.
Yeah.
As what came forth.
So the song is now written.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We meet every week from anywhere from 2 to 5 hours. And we meet in different places just to keep it nice and fresh. This particular time, Vanessa came to my house. And I think you said, why don't you just go to your piano here and just express what you're feeling right now. All I remember is just plunking my hands down.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, the thoughts of those little incidental statements that I've made came together with the tune.
Mm-hmm.
Out of, I want to say nowhere, but they came from somewhere. And the song was right there.
Well, I think over the course of the months, we'd been building a foundation. And so I remember sitting in his apartment and writing down a few phrases that he had shared, and I said them back to him. And in that moment, it felt like a chorus. I looked at him and I said, that mm-hmm. sounds like a chorus. What does it sound like?
That's
when
right.
you hear
yes.
it back?
Yes.
And the words were, bury me green, I want you to, cover my body and keep me warm. And so this song really comes out of conversations Jiroge and I have had throughout the past year and a half and a thought process that he's been in of, I am in this new stage of life in which I am really looking at my own dying process, and not mm-hmm. in a morbid sense, in a sense of, as he was saying, what is my legacy mm-hmm. and what do I want to leave behind for those who love me and whom I love? And also, you know, how can I create that experience in the way that is most authentic for me. So speaking of green burials is something that Jiroge has come back mm-hmm. to many times.
That's what we got aware of, the option from the program we were in.
Coming full circle.
Yeah. And so it changed my mind about how I want to be buried and what I want the ceremony to be about. I had said I wanted to be cremated. Mm-hmm. My daughter said, you know, she was kind of hurt by that because she wanted to have this whole thing of seeing the body. And so I struggled with that for a few years. And I decided when we went to see a movie that's called, it was something, was an option for the course we were taking.
A Will for the Woods?
Yes.
That's the one.
Nice. Thank you.
If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It changed my whole perspective on how I could be in my bed for 3 days, not embalmed, and maybe shocking to some people, but they can see you unembalmed, very natural, and I'd like to have that happen. And I just want to be wrapped up in swaddling cloth or something or other and rolled out into a hole somewhere. Let my body dissolve, not having any kind of detriments to the earth. So Bury Me Green is talking about a green service of just people coming in and they create the ritual individually.
Absolutely. And the verses that we created together also are exploring this idea of, you know, when Jiroge is gone and when we're all gone, still being here and still being very much
yes.
connected, and kind of the continuing presence of the spirit. And the music comes from this older, Akushla, you can speak to it as you've heard it. It's kind of got a timeless quality, the song, right? It's
absolutely
almost ancient.
It is. I mean, and I like how you described it as both ancient and very current, because mm-hmm. And I think that's actually a very important quality in all of the work that we do. It's not just about memories that are sort of no longer relevant. When we're working with people, we're working about what's present and real now. And there's something about what you all also said that really reminds me of what's at the core of this process is dignity. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, creating dignity for ourselves at all stages of life, but also remembering how important it is to be, to have dignity in the latter stages of our lives. And I think actually that's why a lot of people fear it so much, because they fear that you're going to lose control. You will no longer have control over what happens to you. And it's because it is true for a lot of people that does happen.
Yeah.
So,
or control over your mind.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. So there's a lot that we're trying to do just in terms of bringing that back home and caring for one another.
You said dignity. Mary Charlotte, can I just add one something else? It not only provides dignity, but it also opened me up to being able to talk about or think about. I had no control about my birth. I was born to a teenager that had a mental illness, probably raped, and I visited her until I was in high school in a mental hospital. I had no control of any of that, but the power of knowing that I can control the ceremony that I'm making my exit in this thing called life as we know it, and my burial, that I can have control of that, you know, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really powerful. So the dignity to do something that may have been embarrassment. And there's a verse in the song that talks about why I like to now wear red. All the things that I tried to hide all of my life, that I now am not ashamed of, because I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
You know? So these are realizations that come forth as I share some things, but the fallout that's happening now that the song has been written is I'm going deeper and having those conversations with myself. And that has just been, it's a dignifying something to know that I don't have to be ashamed of how I came into the world, because doggone it, I'm going to control, I'm going out. Yeah, and I can laugh about that and be happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jiroge will be performing his song with a handful of the artist facilitators with the Kushla actually here, and myself and some of the other incredible members of our team.
At this concert on May 7th.
At this concert. So, you know, the programming we do is both in our ensemble sessions at the Santa Fe Care Center, as well as our individual life songs. And then there are these culminating performances. The Lenzic is an incredible space to have a song such as this one illuminated and shared by an audience of almost 700 people. This is an opportunity to come together as a community and celebrate the lives of so many of our elders in our community and the relationship that we have to them and how we're all connected.
El Knowlton is part of this group, and El, you are a high school student and a vocalist. You have worked with the Santa Fe Opera. Tell us about how you started doing this work and what you do and what it's done for you.
Yeah, so I was introduced to life songs. My school, I go to the Santa Fe Waldorf High School. I'm a senior this year, but last year my school requires students to partake in a junior year internship. And I participated with life songs to fulfill this. And I absolutely fell in love with the work that they were doing. So I've been working with them for about a year now. And just this year, I had the beautiful opportunity through also my school, once again, to fulfill a senior project. Vanessa here was my mentor, and I was able to construct a life song of my own with, as Akushla mentioned, the elder Rita. As she said, she was born and raised on the Santo Domingo Pueblo, and she had a whirlwind of life. Her mother died when she was in high school, and she became the caretaker of her family. She took care of her four brothers, and her father passed away shortly after. She married a husband who passed, so she's had a very tragic life. And what I've picked up on, the present moment, as we were saying, is so powerful. And what I've been feeling through ensembles throughout the past year, and just in my independent time with her, is just this pain that she still carries around. And initially I went into this process really wanting to write a happy song, but as time came to tell, this wasn't going to be possible just with what she was valuing in the moment. And so I decided to honor her pain and put it to music. And so I wrote a song I called the Tears for Santo Domingo. And I wrote it in first person. So you could even call it a ballad of just telling her life story. And it's very in the present moment, which I didn't anticipate I was going to construct it that way.
And how did she respond to it?
She is in a very progressed stage of dementia. So we've gotten to the point where she sometimes doesn't even recognize me. And that itself has been a whole another layer of the journey, my issues mostly included in that.
But that must be hard.
It is. It really is. It, especially just because I've been a part of the program for a year. When I first started out, every session she would greet me with a big hug and a kiss. And now I walk in and I get a blank stare or sometimes a wave. And it's rough. It's been a journey.
Yeah.
I think Elle is speaking to what so many families go through when a family member is no longer able to recognize them. And I think as a young woman, as a 17-year-old coming onto this project, she's been incredibly brave and also just has stayed present. And her capacity, the way she's grown in terms of her capacity to stay present is really inspiring for me. She's an amazing ambassador, not just for the program, but for this kind of work and the importance of it. So thank you, Elle.
Elle, are you planning to go forward when you graduate from high school into a life of music, do you think?
Absolutely, yes. So I'll be going to University of Miami Frost School of Music, and they have a music therapy program there, which is very enticing to me. Even if I don't follow through with that, I definitely love to start a club, Life Songs Club, bring in elders from the area, potentially being my own facilitator with people my age, which I think would be really awesome.
Life Songs is a program of the Academy for the Love of Learning. And by the way, there are ways for people to join. There's a weekly group. You can go to aloveoflearning.org for more information. The concert, Life Songs in Concert, it's called I Saw the Mystery, is Saturday the 7th of May at 7 in the evening at the Lenzic Center for Performing Arts here in Santa Fe. You can go to ticketsantafe.org. You can call 505-988-1234 for more information. There's also a CD. I want to thank everybody so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.